You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
May Day, A Graphic History of Protest, is the title of a new comic just published by Between the Lines Press. The comic was produced by the Graphic History Collective and traces the history of May Day from its beginnings in the late 1800s to its expression in Canada today. Two members of the collective have joined me in the studio this morning. Robin Fulvick is a writer and researcher, and Sam Brad is an illustrator. Good morning to both of you.
Hello.
Good morning.
Now, I wanted to start by asking about the Graphic History Collective. Is this your first project together?
It is our first project together. We've been together for a number of years now, and we're looking forward to working on future projects.
So why did you get together? What motivated you to get together in the first place?
Well, the project actually began in 2007, and Robin was there from the beginning.
And it was actually Mark Lear, who's a professor up at Simon Fraser University in the Department of History, and at that time in the Center for Labor Studies, but now it's the Morgan Center for Labor Studies. And he'd written a paper on May Day, but he realized that as part of his education, you know, process of teaching people, that he wanted to create something that was more accessible, that people would pick up much more frequently than they'd go to a journal article and read through. So he got the idea to perhaps create a comic. And he contacted a few people and brought us on board as researchers to try and discuss ways that we could translate that academic research into something that was much more accessible, that people would want to read, from your grandmother to, you know, your son or your daughter. So that was the real genesis point for that. And he pulled together a few of us as researchers, and it kind of just took off from there.
So you, Sam, you said you joined a little later, so you got pulled in as an illustrator?
Hooked in.
That's right. So I was able to read the paper that had been written and was really inspired by the text that was before us. And so I didn't know very much about the history of May Day, and I learned quickly that it was a workers' holiday, and it was a source of inspiration for a lot of social change around the world. And so what we were trying to do with the words is have the meaning stay the same but shift the context.
To explain that a little bit.
Well, that May Day has changed over the past 100 years, beginning as a workers' holiday, and but now we're dealing, you know, 100 years later with migrant rights, the impact of regressive citizenship and immigration policies, environmental destruction, war, and so all of these things affect us and our labor, whether it's waged, unwaged, as parents, as workers, people with status and without status. And so these are all things that make May Day relevant now. And so we're a history collective, but also we know that these are the things that shape us today.
Okay, so I was extremely interested in the process by which this came about. So it started with the written word.
It started with the written word. Well, it started with a paper initially. And then we did more research over the years. So we kind of did an episodic gathering of information from newspaper articles. So a lot of research went into staring at microfilm, which is always a fun activity.
I didn't think anybody did that anymore.
Oh no, we still do it. Although now you can do the digital scanning, which makes it so much easier. But we did start with that process, and then pulling out the different protests over the year that really stood out as significant or were occurring at periods of time that were significant. So, you know, those big time periods, World War One, the interwar years, Depression, World War Two, we kind of wanted to chart how it changed over the years. And what we realized was that even if the context changed, there was still that real core meaning of resistance, protest, but it appeared in different ways.
So you had three writers involved, is that right? So you would each go out and do individual research and then come back and say, look, this is what we found?
We did. We made some very, very funny storyboards with stick figures and tried
before the illustrators came in, yes.
I know, it's really embarrassing. I handed those stick figures off. It was quite funny. But we did. We tried to imagine, because we'd never done anything like this before, which was really a fun process to go through and work through. Sometimes frustrating, because it's very hard to imagine what the illustrator would want and what would dialogue look like. And that's where the stick figures and the storyboard came in. And what we would do is we'd meet and we'd discuss the structure and discuss what we were including while madly looking for illustrators that would want to work with us.
So how were the stick figures?
They were great. Very sticky, very figury.
No, that was great. They got better over time, though.
Yeah, they did.
They did.
So I responded to an email call out that somebody was looking for an illustrator, and I was like, well, I've never done a 24 to 30-page comic before, but I'm sure, you know, we can try. So basically, the stick figures had small storyboards, so like it's a narrative, but then paragraphs of text that would go with it.
You're so wordy.
I wondered if that would be the case, because, I mean, in a comic, you don't have much to work with, and it's like, how do you get that down into, and then this happened.
Yeah. So a lot of it was working together as illustrators and writers to tell the story in the pictures as much as possible. And so one of our goals here is to make sure that more stories are told through comics. We think it's a really important and accessible tradition. And if you're out there thinking that, you know, could I make a comic? Yes, you could. So I was the first illustrator to work with the text, and it was still changing. So the first thing that we learned was finalize the text first and then come along and do it. So it's very difficult to have parallel processes. It's hard to draw things at the same time as changing the wording.
It must be. It must be. So really the text came first, and then you came in and you started working with it. But then you didn't want it to change after that. You just like...
Well, things change, definitely. We work in pencil. And so then, meanwhile, Trevor and I were...
Do you really work in pencil? Yeah. You don't use a mouse or for that kind of thing?
You know, for this comic, both of us did pen and ink and marker and paper.
Interesting.
Yeah.
For this comic? I mean, was it something special about this story or this style or...
Trevor always works with pen and ink. That's his process. For me... In 2009, that's where I was at. I wasn't drawing so much on the computer, whereas, 3 years later, I'm doing a lot more digital work. Mm-hmm. It's really affordable. It's fast. That's also an important thing. And you can work really big, right? So if you're thinking about doing a comic, make sure that each panel is a full page and then shrink it down afterwards. That was the other thing.
Use the same paper size.
Yeah, use the same paper size. Things that we learned.
Okay. So the final process then, were you all meeting together as a big group when you had the whole thing kind of put together?
We had periodic meetings, but we did a lot of our discussion digitally. There was a lot of emails that we exchanged.
Is everybody here in town, or there's people across the country?
At that point, we were all in the same place. Now we're four here and one in Toronto.
Okay.
And one in Houston, BC. Yeah. So three in Vancouver now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And then how did you divide up the illustrating? Because, I mean, I can imagine, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I could imagine writers working together in a more interlocking way where you're putting each other's words together. But with the illustrators, how did you do it?
Mm-hmm. We reviewed the text and together realized that there were certain themes that just really spoke to us.
Okay.
So I was interested in illustrating more of the big concepts at the beginning and situating May Day. Trevor was excited about the historical moments, especially around the Winnipeg General Strike, the work in the 30s, the Depression. So he really had a vision for those panels, and then he grew his work from those moments outwards.
Yeah, when I was reading it, I was like, oh, and now we have a different artist. So your styles are quite different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so did you have a discussion about that? How do we feel about this kind of, you know, suddenly looking quite different halfway through? Or was that just always, that's the way it's going to be?
I think we were excited about bringing on people and working with them and highlighting different artists' works. So when we thought about bringing on different artists, that was an idea that excited us. And I mean, I think we would have been happy with multiple styles because people really do bring something unique when they're drawing and have different things that they can showcase and highlight. So for us, it worked really well to have those different artists on board. And we were really happy about that. And the same with writing. Even though writing is a very interlocking process, people have very different voices. So it maybe isn't as apparent, but some of that kind of back and forth over the way that you word things was also going on. So maybe it's not apparent when you look through the comic now, but for me, when I look through, I can go, oh yes, that's Sean's voice, or that's Robin's voice, or that's a really good fusion of the way that we both probably would say some things. So it really worked to have multiple people.
I guess you'd have to like the other illustrators' work, eh, Sam?
Yes, yes.
I mean, that is a key point, of course. That is key.
We all do like working together.
Yeah. Did you interview each other when you first started? No?
No, yeah.
We really organically fell together.
Oh, okay.
It's quite a beautiful process, actually, and our personalities clicked very well. And so we kind of have this approach to the collective where if there's something that needs to get done, somebody's going to jump in and do it. And it's usually whoever has the time or who has the best skills in that area or is interested in learning more about that. So that's generally what's worked well for us with no oversight.
Thinking about my years being involved with the Red Eye Collective, I really resonate with you saying whoever wants to learn about that, because there is a tremendous amount of learning that goes on in the process of making a project like this. If you had to pick one thing which was really, you know, wow, I never knew this about Mayday in the comic, I'm putting you on the spot here, what would it be?
After we finished the comic, the most important thing that I learned about it was that No One Is Legal in Toronto has a long history of connecting migrant rights through their annual marches on May Day. And it is a vibrant, exciting, and really radical moment that coalesces every year. And so if there's ever a reprint, we're going to add that, and it's going to inform the next work that we do.
How about you, Robin? What was a real mind blower for you?
I don't know if it was necessarily a real mind blower, but one of the things that really stood out with the comic and with the research was how much women were involved in all of these different protests and strikes and activities over the years. And that really, of course, resonated with me. And it was something that Sam and Trevor both did a really good job illustrating and including their presence within the graphic form.
Oh, no, that totally came through to me. Now, you've both mentioned this, but I just want to ask you to talk a little bit more about it. The fact that comic books is a form that really appealed to you, and you mentioned in your introduction a number of recent examples of comic books that are telling a radical story. What is it about this format that is such a good match for you?
Well, I think for me, I'm very interested in the different ways that we can use information and translate it into a much more accessible format. So, I mean, comic books for me is one way that I do that, but I'm also interested in posters and films and walking tours and postcards. So for me, it just fits very logically within that whole interest in exploring non-academic or non-textual ways of disseminating information and to get people inspired. So, I mean, that's really what sticks with me is here's another way to get the idea and the messages out and not put you to sleep. And not to say that all academic writing is dull. I don't want to suggest that at all, but it's just not something that everybody's going to pick up and look through. So, I mean, for me, that's really what resonates.
I guess I maybe should have gotten you to start on this, Sam, seeing as you are the illustrator, the person who's bringing in that other format. What is it about drawing that appeals to people or that gets people?
We are in an extremely visual culture right now. The emphasis is on short messages, things that are captured. It's probably overemphasized, the visual nature of work. And so whenever we can bring long-term messaging into a format that Robin is describing as more accessible, then we're successful in advancing progressive political and radical issues. Yeah.
And just thinking about how babies recognize faces long before they learn to read.
That's right. Yep. And comics emphasize faces. Yeah, definitely.
Congratulations on the project. Ooh, it's really an excellent comic. I enjoyed reading it and I learned all kinds of stuff. Thanks so much to both of you for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks very much.
I've been speaking with writer Robin Fulvick and illustrator Sam Brad. They're both with the Graphic History Collective, and their comic May Day, A Graphic History of Protest, has just been published by Between the Lines in Toronto.